where I am the pastor there. My name is Rich Burset. Welcome again. I hope you have your Bibles open there where you are. It's so much more effective when teaching is going on that you have your scriptures ready so you can make your notes and make your references. I find that familiarity with notes in a Bible is very, very helpful for memory. So brownout warnings have been spreading around the country. Yeah, that is when we're warned of a potential brownout, is the power companies can save enough electricity by turning down the voltage on your home and in whole areas, territories. It's called a voltage slump. And they call it a brownout because, I just learned this, because when your bulbs of your lights go to a lower voltage, they look kind of brown. So anyway, brown will be a symbol or a sign of low power, low voltage. But there's no shortage here in God's Word. God is our source, and He doesn't fail, and it's always bright. Christians are infinitely more prepared with God's Word and God's Spirit than Ameren is for electricity. When the light is not good enough, I'm going to start with going back a little bit to 4:17 of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 17. Listen in to God's Word. So I tell you this, writes the Apostle Paul, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. That is definitely a brownout spiritually. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. I worked with a youth minister in a church in previous years, and his name was Tim, and he was a genuine cut-up. One of the things that he did regularly to me was that while I was in my office studying or doing some business, he would slip his hand in the door of the office and flip off my light. Well, the condition of that office really depended on the lights being on, so I was left in the dark completely. So, Tim, here's to you. Thanks a lot. So, whatever you may be trying to do, it's no fun doing it if it's a brownout. Here's a critical point on darkness and light. The scripture says, in Jesus, in Him, was life, and that life was the light of men. That's you and me. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. No brownouts here. This is bright light. This is eternal light. Everyone who comes to faith in Jesus Christ comes into the light, and the light is the light of your life. This change from darkness to light is a thrilling experience, really. But what to? We have a future too, not just an experience of salvation and grace coming into our lives. We have a whole future ahead of us as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're called to walk as children of light. We're going to look at the text for today, chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Be very careful then. Paul writes to the Christians, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. When we are Christ's, we are his representatives. And since he brought us the light of life, we then shine that light and testimony to his love to those around us. If you find a board on the ground that has been there for a while and you turn it over, there's hundreds of creepy little creatures scatter looking for cover. They don't like the light. And I think that in all God's created order, how glad I am to not be one of those things and to be the one that turns the board over. In his book, The Light on Earth, David Attenborough, who is a biologist, a historian, and a naturalist, David Attenborough tells of an unbelievable experience on a ship, the SS Lima, on January 25th, 1995, as this British merchant vessel was sailing the northeast waters of the Indian Ocean, when the sea beneath them began to glow. It was a clear, moonless night, and a whitish glow was observed on the horizon 150 miles east of the Somalian coast. And it was spreading. After 15 minutes, the ship was completely surrounded by a sea of milky white color with a fairly uniform luminescence. It appeared as though the ship was sailing over a field of snow or gliding over the clouds. Then at the same time, Dr. Stephen Haddock's team at Defense Meteorological Satellite discovered a large luminescent area, roughly the size of Connecticut, 110 miles long. The phenomenon identified in the exact area where the captain had reported from his ship. Marine biologists discovered that the glowing sea was caused by a massive swarm of billions and billions of bioluminescent bacteria that were feeding on a large crop of algae. Imagine. Bacteria are microscopic, but when they congregate together, these tiny creatures of God, individually cannot be seen by the naked eye, can suddenly radiate their light 600 miles into space. We Christians are strange lights. In a dark world, we confuse people, attracting some, repelling others, and people say, "Why do you glow with light like you do?" Because God is using his church to touch others. The greatest joy we may ever have is to shine, simply to shine, to draw others to Jesus, who is the light. What a privilege it is for us to be light for him. Now, how are we light? Well, like algae and the bacteria that are all over it, we don't generate our own light. It is the power and the grace of God at work in us. He makes us shine. It is his holy divine influence in our lives, on our hearts, that make us shine. Paul wrote to the Philippians, for example, "Do everything without complaining or arguing." Already, that's a tall order for a lot of people. "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold forth the word of life. Now, isn't it fascinating that when we shine, listen, when we shine, when we take the initiative to be as God wants us to be without complaining or arguing, that's the literal from that verse, then we shine like stars in the universe for the Lord. It is possible. It is mandatory. Christ calls us to it. Jesus said to us, "You are the light of the world." And what an honor that is, because Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." We understand that to mean something really terrific. But then he says, "You are the light of the world." That's an honor. That's a privilege. But that's a ministry, that we're called to be light. We're to shine for him, shining like the sun, shimmering like a diamond. We have marching orders. Consider what it means to shine. Number one, he says, be wise in this text. Solomon was known as the wisest man who ever lived on earth. He was the author of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs in your Bible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Only fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's the key text coming from Proverbs, the first chapter, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Only fools despise wisdom and instruction. That fear, of course, being respect and honor for who God is. Of course, there is an element of fear, that he is also our judge. But we start with that respect for God, that obedience to God. That is our marching order. That's our message to others. Well, the first part of wisdom is that fear. The Lord, we fear the Lord. In these last days, he has made one thing clear. To be on his team, you must go through his Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way to be on God's team, to be saved, to be people of hope, no other way but through Jesus. That was Christ's insistence, and the Father put his stamp of approval on it. Once we come to salvation through Jesus Christ by faith, wisdom says, go share this good news with others. Bring a few more with you. That's our commission as a church. We're not to be on the defensive all the time, just saying, well, you know, we're the church and you all understand, and, you know, if you just leave us alone, we'll be okay. No, it's the devil's trick to lie and taunt the church, persecute the church all over the world, just to keep us from defending ourselves. Meanwhile, the saving gospel is not going out to others. We're preoccupied with Satan's tricks. We must be on the offensive. A part of the practical wisdom we have is to play offense as well as defense. Be wise and be opportunistic, I think our text teaches us to be. The Apostle Paul tells us we are Christ's ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Well, that is just an encapsulation of what we really are called to be and to do as representatives of Christ. What does it mean? 2 Corinthians 5:11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. We are to penetrate cultural barriers and social strata, language and political differences. He sends us out just like the United States has sent out great ambassadors, Benjamin Franklin, Dag Hammarskjöld, Thomas Pickering. Speaking of great men, Blaise Pascal is considered one of history's greatest scientists. But Pascal's conversion was not through his scientific queries. When his carriage one day was suspended on a bridge hanging between life and death, the only thing Pascal could remember, the only thing he could think of, was the Christian conviction of his sister, who was a strong believer, and the witness of Christ that she had in his life. He was the inventor of the barometer. He was tremendously brilliant as a philosophical scientist, but one thing that kept piercing his heart was not the scientific truths, scientific laws, it was the Christian witness of his sister. She was light. And as a result, one of the greatest individuals in history came to trust in Christ. Be wise, be opportunistic, be not foolish. Look at verse 17 again. Take the helmet of salvation. Excuse me, I'm in 6 there. 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Wise people discern the will of God. Unwise people don't care enough to ask what God's will is. Therefore, do not be foolish, understand what the Lord's will is. Just listen to his will. It's so plain. The minimal perspective. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In this same way, Jesus said, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Again, Jesus calls for Christians who will have no brownouts, but will be bright lights for him. Jesus himself prayed to the Father in heaven, saying, not my will, but yours be done. And then he taught us to pray, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There simply is nothing more important than to discover and do God's will. General will, particular will. Particular will is not in Scripture, but the former is there in spades. God repeating his will over and over again that we should be ambassadors for Christ, to daily discern the will of God as taught in the Scripture, and to daily discern his particular will for our lives by listening carefully in prayer to the Holy Spirit. Don't think yourself too small. You know, a lot of people, a lot of Christians think, well, it's just little old me. I'm not going to get anything. You know, if you think you're too small to be effective, you probably never slept with a mosquito. Remember, as long as we draw breath in this life, that mission is our calling, to be light, to do things that shed light, to represent as ambassadors the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive to be faithful to his will. This is what Paul calls wise living, unfoolish living. Foolishness is epitomized in unthinking behavior, and unthinking Christianity is impossible. It's an anomaly. Finally, we arrive to this verse, that we should be filled with the Spirit to enable you and me to faithfully carry out our mission as light, not to help us, but to enable us. And there's a big difference there. Not to help us, but enable us to continually remember our life's mission as an ambassador for Christ. You're helping to invite a brownout of God's perfect will in this world if you don't listen to God's Spirit. I don't want to be part of that, and I'm sure you don't either. We've been given a heavenly opportunity, the magnificence of which is unfathomable. We can be, listen carefully, we can be filled with God. Unimaginable, wonderful, incredible. The Scriptures do not exaggerate this. The Spirit of God is in you. So remember, in your calling as an ambassador for Christ, it isn't you and your puny fortitude, your limited wisdom, which by comparison is foolishness. It's not your power nor your strategy. It is God at work in you. And therefore, we need to be listening carefully, searching the heart of God for our lives and the moments we live, what we are to do to be light. Now, just imagine God at work in you. Imagine the love of God so wonderfully present in your life. Imagine the power of God at your disposal so you can do His will. And imagine the immediacy and intimacy of your prayers when God is in you. Awesome. Imagine the wisdom and the accuracy of the leading we will receive when we're listening to Him in so personal and close a way. This is God's will, that we be His servants, already in touch with Him, drawing on His resources to be light in this world. Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. You know, we work terribly hard trying to fix our lives and make them go right. And God has the key. And if you're a Christian, He's in you, begging for you to listen for direction. And when you do, you'll not only be the person you want to be, that you ought to be, but you will also be His light and His representative. You'll know exactly what to do because you're walking closely with the Lord who's whispering His directions. The Spirit of God, alive and active within us, is all the motivation and wisdom and power we will ever need. With Him, we may become as putty in God's hands, letting Him make us what He wants us to be and use us in the way His wisdom dictates. That's the will of God. So how can God use little old me? Being filled with the Spirit. It doesn't make us wiser. Doesn't make us have spiritual acuity, but not braggadocio. We are called to listen to God and be led by Him. The final item in the text is to be humble and be submissive. This is how we fight brownouts, by becoming like Jesus. The last instruction, open yourself to God and say, Lord, use me. I forfeit my own agenda for my life, and I want to do Your will only. That's kind of dangerous language because you're setting yourself up for total obedience to Him. But you say, because I know if I do, O God, You can make me happier. You can make me more fulfilled. and you can make me effective for you. People who are all wrapped up in themselves make very small packages. You get wrapped up in God and His will, and big things happen. Philippians 2, 12 to 15. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. He goes on, do everything without grumbling or complaining, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine like stars in the sky. Amazingly, of all the provocative features of Jesus in His ministry on earth, His submissiveness stands out. His servant heart. Had he not had that, the mission he was on would never have come to completion. We should emulate him. Submission and humility. Together with the common commitment to Jesus, we know by His word that He will use us to grow His kingdom. He'll make us a bright light. He'll make us wise, opportunistic, filled with His Spirit, humble, submissive servants. May we pray. Lord, we thank You for the great invitation You have given us. Called to be in Your presence, not occasionally, not ultimately, but every day and every moment. Thank You for the presence of Your Holy Spirit, and thank You for the ministry calling that You've given to us, to be a light to those around us, to influence them. May we know Your power and be effective in that singularly important mission. Amen. How long was that, Carrie? I didn't like it. I don't think I'm doing very well on it. I'm stiff, yeah.